Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He was lifted on his exalted throne, towering high above me. His long, flowing robe of splendor spread throughout the temple. Standing above him were the angels of flaming fire, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces in reverence. With two wings they covered their feet. And with two wings they flew. And one called out to the other, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, commander of the angel armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." The thunderous voice of the fiery angels caused the foundations of the thresholds to tremble as the cloud of glory filled the temple. Then I stammered and said, "Woe is me. I am destroyed. Doomed as a sinful man, for my words are tainted, and I live among people who talk the same way. King Yahweh, commander of the angel armies, my eyes have gazed upon him." Then out of the smoke, one of the angels of fire flew to me. He in his hand, a burning coal he had taken from the altar with tongs, he touched my lips and said with it, "See, the burning coal from the altar has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send to my people? Who will go and represent us?" I spoke up and said, "Here I am.
Here I am.
Send me."
Oh, yeah.
We say this morning, Here I am. Send me.
Yes, Lord.
Then he said, "Go and tell your people."
Yes.
"Tell the people. You keep listening but understanding nothing. You keep watching but learning nothing. Go and preach a message that will make their hearts dull, their ears plugged, and their eyes blind. Otherwise, their eyes will begin to see and their ears will begin to hear."
Yeah. Yes, Lord.
"Their eyes would begin to understand and they would return to me for healing."
Yes.
"And to be healed."
Yes.
"Then I ask, O Lord, how long?"
"How long?"
And he answered, "Until their houses and their cities are destroyed and uninhabited, and their land a desolate wasteland, until the Lord has exalted them all to a distant country."
Yes.
"And the entire land lies deserted."
Yeah.
"Even if a tenth remains there, it will be burned again. It will be fallen like a fallen oak or terebinth tree."
Yeah.
"It fell. The stump still lives to grow again. Now the stump is the holy seed."
Yeah. Wow. That's so good. He who cobra kosharia under the air, O kosharia, O kosharia under the air, he who cobra kosharia under the air, he who cobra kosharia under the air, he who cobra kosharia under the air, O kosharia. So just get under the rain, get under the waterfall, because I just sense the rain is coming down. And there's always abundance in it. So we thank you, Father, for the great buckets of heaven, the great pottery of heaven that is overflowing right now and pouring down upon us here. We give you glory. We know there's more than enough. It's a never-ending flood. It goes, doesn't just stay here. It goes with us, and we thank you. Oh, word of God. Thank you, Lord. If you want to read along in John 16, we'll go to John 16, verse 19. I'm sorry, I can't read the little numbers. I'm sorry. 16, 19. There we go. John 16, 19. I can read the little numbers. Jesus is healing my eyes. So thank you, Lord. I want you to think this morning I was reading in the veil. I was reading in that book, and one little sentence that he said has like just rocked me this morning. He said, you are a 100% spirit and 100% man. We are. We just ignore the spirit so much that we forget. We're not a half spirit. We're not a third spirit, right? We're 100% spirit. We're 100% physical body right now. One day we'll be 100% spirit, 100% spirit. So think about that. Let that kind of rock you. Because I want the man part to be small. I want the spirit part to be bigger instead of the opposite. So the word of God has to convince us of that. Right? 16:19. Jesus knew what they were thinking, the disciples, and it was obvious that they were anxious to ask him what he had meant, because he was just said, I'm going to go away. So he spoke up and he said, let me make it quite clear. You will weep and be overcome with grief over what happens to me in the crucifixion, right? The unbelieving world will be happy, right? They're happy right now when they see evil, while you will be filled with sorrow. But know this, your sadness will turn to joy when you see me again, because he was coming back. Just like a woman giving birth experiences intense labor pains in delivering her baby, yet after the child is born, she quickly forgets. Verse 22. So will you also pass through this time of intense sorrow? So you will also pass through this in time of intense sorrow when I'm taken again from you. But you will see me again, then your hearts will burst with joy, with no one being able to take it from you. For there's an eternal truth that when that time comes, you won't need to ask me for anything, but instead you'll go directly to the Father and ask him for anything you desire, and he will give it to you because of your relationship with him. Isn't that so good? This is out of the Passion, by the way. He's not giving it to us because he has to. Although he does because of his word, but he doesn't operate that way. He doesn't say, oh, I have to give it to my children. He wants to give it to his children. And it's because of our relationship he gives it. Until now, you've not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name. But now, we can ask. And keep on asking. You can be sure that you'll receive it, and you will have joy with no limits. Verse 25 talks right about what we're talking about. I've spoken to you using figurative language, because that's how Jesus did. He spoke in parables, right? And in metaphors. But the time is coming when no longer I will teach you with veiled speech. I will teach you about the Father with your eyes unveiled. Open my eyes to see your majesty. I want my eyes to be unveiled. Verse 26, and I will not need to ask the Father on your behalf, for you'll ask him directly because of your new relationship with me. For the Father tenderly loves you because you love me and believe that I have come from God. And I came to you sent from the Father's presence, and I entered the created world. And now I leave this world to return to the Father's side. And his disciples were like, phew, finally, he's talking clearly to us. Don't you love the disciples? That's how I am sometimes. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You talked clearly to me last night in that dream. I don't have to work on it. And then other days I'm like, Jesus, why did you do that to me? That was not clear. It is the glory of man and the honor of kings to search out a matter. Amen. Amen. Glory. His word is so good. I had a pastor that we would sit or we would stand every week and we would just read Psalm 1 or Psalm 100 every single week. We all knew it by heart. It was so powerful. It got to where when we would stand to read, he'd just weep because of the power of the word, even though you've heard it so many times. There's so much power in this on a deeper level that we will not catch until heaven, I'm sure. Let's go to Psalm 19. I had another scripture, but I just sense the Lord saying, let's go to Psalm 19. And let's go to verse 7. The Lord loves his word, so we're just repeating his word back to me. This time I have the New King James Version. So Psalm 19. Let's start at verse 1 because it talks about the heavens declaring the glory of God. And we can see that. Oh, my goodness. All around us. All around us. Oh, my goodness. Oh, last night was absolutely brilliant. I hope you saw the stars. Yeah, let's read the whole. Psalm 19, verse 1. Read together with me. You stand if you want. We'll honor the word. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoices like the strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of the heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Just think about it. Wow. It's God. It's circuit. Thank you, God. One day I was driving in my car and we were studying Revelation at the time, and you know where the part it says there'll be no more sun, no more moon. I come up over the thing and I was just weeping. Oh God, I love the sun and I love the moon. I want the sun and the moon to stay. Can you please? But we won't miss it. We won't miss it then. But right now, we look at this and we go, oh yeah, the circuit of the sun and the moon. We love it. How many of you, when you see the sunrise, you just weep? Or you see the full moon come up and you go, oh my God. Oh. Verse 7. The Torah, it's the Torah of the Lord. We says law in the King James, but it's the Torah of the Lord. The first five books, because that's what David had, right? The Torah of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Oh, let's re-say it again. The Torah of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Oh, my Lord. Here we go again. The next part of that. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, bringing joy to our heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Jesus, now, right now, Jesus, we repent for our secret things that we have hidden. They're hidden. They may even be hidden from us. Lord, I know when you've dealt with my heart and something comes up and I say, oh my goodness, I had no idea, Jesus, I repent. So Lord, right now we repent. The things we think are secret are not secret. They scream out really in the spirit realm. So Lord, right now we repent. Oh, deal with our hearts. Deal with our hearts today. Convert our soul with your word. Convert my soul with your Torah. Convert me, Lord, with your law. Convert me. Convert me, Lord. Verse 13. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. Oh, I can do that because I'm bought by the blood of Jesus. I can do that. God, keep me from this. Keep us, we repent right now, from presuming that we can do something to step on your grace. God, we repent right now. Heal us, Jesus. Heal our hearts where we think we have to do that. Lord, we think we have some sort of free pass. Jesus, I repent. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. And let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. God, we do ask you, heal us of our sins, our transgressions, our iniquities, our presumption of sin, our naivety. God, forgive us when we didn't know about something. Naivety is good because naivety is not knowing sin, not even knowing. You know, have you heard something like on the news or something? You'll hear a wicked thing done and you'll think, oh, who could have thought of that? That's what true naivety is. I want that kind of innocence where I don't even think of that kind of evil. I don't want to think about that kind of evil. I don't want to know evil. I don't want to know any of that. So we want that kind of innocence. But Lord, we do want, when we make a mistake, Lord, show us. Just show us. We thank you. We want to be so close that you burn up all that stuff in us, Lord, that's presumptuous. And here's the precious one. We're going to do it twice, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my rock and my redeemer. Whoo, you get a new picture of rock, don't you hear? Man, whoo, there is a rock. Oh my goodness, wow. Thank you, Lord. There, Janet. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We just give you glory for the everlasting word. You said not one dot or tittle will pass away, not one yod. What's the other little one? Not one yod or tittle. It is a tittle. Okay. Will pass away until for all eternity. So, Father, we thank you that your word is eternal, and we thank you that it converts our soul. That's why we had to have it every day, because my soul has to be converted every single day. Whoa, glory to God. That's good. How many of you feel like a fresh, clean thing came over us? Whoa, it feels like a blanket of pure. Whoo, glory. Whoo. Oh, my goodness. You know, we haven't come up and there's been snow on the mountains like there was this year. That was really neat. But the, like, did you look at the mountains and go, that is pure? I mean, it's whiter than white, right? Oh, it's so beautiful in the sun. Oh, my goodness. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Okay. I think we're going to talk about some dreams. Do we have that on the... Do you have my thingy? I didn't even clear this. Thank you, Lord. I tell you, the presence of the Lord is so strong in this place. I'm just going to say this. Last night... Do you need to say something? Okay. When we were doing worship, I just want you to... Sometimes when you're in worship, if you can just step back and just be quiet and see, ask the Lord to show you what's going on around you. I'm telling you, it's so good, especially up here. So I was moving my eyes back and forth. I was just moving my whole body back and forth like this. And I kept seeing, my eyes were shut, but I kept seeing flashes of the most beautiful green and the most beautiful purple. And I kept thinking, what is that? But when you practice seeing the Spirit, He'll show you things, and it makes you hungry for more. So this morning I was doing that when we were singing Holy. I was like, Jesus, what's going on? And I just felt the rain of heaven. Oh my goodness. Just so good. Thank you, Lord. So good. How many of you dreamed last night? Just out of curiosity. Do it again. How many? Dreamed. Did you dream? Lynette, did you dream last night? That's good. That's good. Good. We prayed for dream. Well, no, we didn't pray for dream. Well, we prayed for Daniel 9:12. Oh, 5:12. Oh, good. Because God gave us an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding to interpret dreams, to clarify riddles, to solve problems. And these were all found in Daniel and you. So, Father, we thank you right now for the ability to interpret dreams and to clarify riddles. My little, he's six now, but we didn't know. He's a grandson. His name is Titus. You don't hear that name very often. And we didn't know what direction he was going. This little guy didn't talk until he was almost four. And he was always big for his age. And we just couldn't figure out. He talked in riddles. He would say, Grammy. He'd come over and say, Grammy. I want something orange and square. Who does that? Who are you? I mean, he was three. I mean, you know, right at the edge of four.
Yeah, wow.
Talking in riddles. Popsicle? No, not a popsicle. Orange juice. Because it's in a square box. Yeah, well, they buy the bigger book. But still, who talks in riddles other than Jesus? So I'm like, you're going to take me to a new level, buddy. And then he comes in one day and he says, Grammy, I smell something. He'd say, I smell something chocolatey and chippy. That wasn't quite such a hard riddle. I'm like, do you want some chocolate chips? Exactly. So I was in Nepal, and I was honestly, I didn't realize how concerned I was about the Lord. I don't want to say worried, but it was my cry before the Lord. Lord, what are we going to do, and what's the school system going to do with him? And they're going to a brilliant school. Does anybody know the Hillsdale schools, the classical academies? And they teach Latin. They're brilliant. And so his sister was already going there, and so we knew he could get in. Anyway, so... it was his kindergarten year, first semester, and he was like, he was doing crazy things because he couldn't figure out this system, you know, school. Not every kid can sit down in school and just sit there for even 2 hours, you know, that's just like crazy. And so every day it was a really bad mark. And he... you know, they have him on a system where, you know, oh, a blue day is brilliant, Everybody starts at, wait, maybe everybody starts at blue, but then you go up to purple if it's brilliant or something like that. I'm going to get it wrong. Or then it can be a red or an orange, and if you get an orange, you're going home. You have to go home to mom. And I understand. I mean, it's kind of a military, and his teacher was very military. We can understand that. And so, anyway, so almost every day he was in the red zone. And we would just, you know, I was just like, oh, no, oh, no. And then he would get a green. I think a green was good, so everybody started on green. And then if it was a blue day, it was excellent. Well, one of my granddaughters, blue day was so normal to her, she never got a green day. She always got a blue day. You know, it was always the best of the best. But here we have Titus, who's, you know, we're happy when he gets a red day almost because it's not an orange. And but he couldn't figure out. I mean, he'd tip over his desk because he's like, I don't know what to do with this. And finally, they had a specialist come in and take him around the building. And so after she walked through the whole building, he said, the light is out in here and here and here and here. And he said, this exit light isn't working. He told her everything that wasn't happening. And she's like, oh. Because then she knew he was over getting everything. You know what photographic memory is? He has like a photographic memory. He can do everything. They're teaching him phonics, the hard phonics, the old-timey phonics that are like, you learn all of these macrons and dacrons and whatever, you know, you learn all of the language. And he could list them off so fast, first thing in the morning, and then he was done for the day. I mean, because the teacher was like, I don't know what to do with that. And so he's not only overstimulated with his sight, where he can see everything, he's overstimulated in his ears. So it's like photographic memory and photographic hearing. He's seeing everything and he's hearing everything. So when he comes to our house, a lot of times he'll go hide somewhere and we have to go find him because he's like got to be alone and hide and be quiet and just think about things, process things. And so they gave it. So while I was in Nepal, knowing how bad things were going in the school, they did this test or had this specialist come in. And then she tested him for his IQ. And it was 120 plus, and that was without him finishing the test. He was done. You know, one point he was like, forget it. So he's extremely brilliant. And you can tell he comes over and we're like, what did you just say? Where did you get that? But he'll come over and he'll figure out how everything in the house is working. I took him over to the church and he was like, he's just got to have his hands on everything. And it was him seeing the building for the first time. And so I had to keep my eyes on him because he was figuring out everything, how everything worked, how everything was, you know. So it is something. And so we just lift up Titus, right? Yeah, and all of the Tituses that are misunderstood in schools or the schools are trying to process what you do with a brilliant young brain that's come down from heaven. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you because I do see like an Adam-type quality, you know, where you know that Adam was brilliant. And Father, right now we just thank you. And for these little young minds that are coming down from heaven, you're bringing them into this world for such a time as this so that they can figure out the problems that have been going on forever. So we ask, God, that your hand would move and would protect them, protect these little guys, protect these little girls. Lord, we ask, and that, I mean, I want to say blanketly, we love all the children, all of them, regardless of their, some of the ones that don't seem intelligent are extremely intelligent, just they don't have book learning, they're not academic. So, Father, we ask, God, that your hand would move upon the children of this generation, and we just say, God, we thank you for what you're doing, and we give you glory and praise. I thank you, Lord, that parents have had to bring them home and homeschool. I homeschool all my kids. The parents will learn a new thing when they get to raise their children and see what's going on. All right, and they are figuring out that schools, some of them are really dirty, and they are. Okay, let's go to the next one. I think we need to do dark dreams this morning. So, let's do this. Do keep a journal. If you don't have a journal, like yesterday I told you that dream that I misinterpreted for 5 years, and when I got the interpretation, it completely set me free. So keep a journal. Write down the dream as soon as possible. Dedicate your, okay, and but write down the date. Write down colors, names, pictures. Make sure you get as many details as you can, because the details will go away. All right? And then dedicate your time of sleep to Jesus. Last night, that's what I did. I dedicated my time of sleep to Jesus. But I was also thinking, Lord, I'd love a dream. And I dreamed. So it was sweet. And I don't always declare that before the Lord. But I was really glad I did last night, because it was good. I had sweet sleep. I pray you all had sweet sleep. It's never bad not to dream or not to remember your dreams. Don't take on guilt because you don't remember your dream. It's our dreams. We have to dream. Scientists say that if we don't dream, if we don't have solid sleep where we can have dream cycles, you will die an early death. That's really true. It will actually begin to harm your health. So it's very important that we dream. It's not always important that we write everything down. I just don't think you have to write everything down. Some people will say, I dream every night, all night long. Do I need to write all that down? No. No. Just what the Lord highlights. Get it, write it down. It's important. All right? Okay, next. What about death dreams? Okay. Whenever somebody has a death dream, has anybody have a death dream in here? Or did you have one, Helen? A grandson death? Okay, was this recent? Okay. Do you want to tell the dream? Okay. We might just teach out of it, but we might interpret it too. So come on.
Our third daughter had lost several babies, and then she got pregnant with twins, and she delivered 2 months early. They were healthy.
Okay, just the dream.
Okay, yes. He was home in the hospital. I had a dream that he died. He was older. He was like 11, 12, 13. I saw him. I thought it was him. I saw white, men in white, hoods, like something from a foreign country. It was on like a bier being carried, like a funeral bier, and prayed over him years. A couple of years ago, my daughter-in-law, you know.
Is that the dream?
Dreamt.
Oh, just get us the dream.
Yeah, she also dreamt.
Oh, she also dreamt about him dying.
Well,
okay.
I don't know, not about him dying. She dreamt that he killed someone.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So I'm praying against.
Okay, so let me say just the dream, just the dream. So just the dream, you dreamed that he was on a funeral, in a funeral. Mm-hmm. I don't know what is a bear?
A bear is a platform, like they put dead people on.
Okay, okay.
Carried them or laid them on a platform. I think that's what a funeral bear is.
Okay, okay.
And there were men in white robes walking beside him in kind of a dry valley. Tormented, painful.
Yeah, so when you woke up from the dream, how did you feel?
Tormented.
You were tormented. You were tormented.
Yes.
Okay. What did you see any other details in the dream? You saw the men dressed in white, mm-hmm. and like a foreign country.
Like they do in a foreign country. I mean, you read about funeral processions. We don't do that here. That's what it felt like.
So was there any other detail in the dream, like before you saw him? Right, that is really important. Okay. All right. You want to sit? You don't have to stand the whole time, in other words. But also pray for the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah.
What's your grandson's name?
Ethan.
Ethan. Yeah. Do you know what Ethan means?
Similar to Nathan's gift of God, Ethan's, no, I don't remember.
It's probably similar. It probably is gift of God. Yeah. So we're going to declare over Ethan right now. Father, right now we declare that Ethan shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Let's do it again. We declare that Ethan shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's extremely important. That's that first piece there is extremely important. Now, remember yesterday we talked about a dream. A lot of times is like a theater. You're watching a theater, and you're seeing something play out that has significance that the Lord wants to talk about. You don't go to Ethan. And I want to repeat this. Don't go to Ethan
or his mother.
Yeah. Ooh, and say, I saw Ethan die. Because what does that do? Opens up to the spirit of fear, which is not of God. Now, we know we do have a good fear of the Lord. We have a fear of the Lord, and we have the, spirit of fear, the good fear. What? Say it again. Reverential fear of the Lord, but there's another way. Emotion of fear is what I'm trying to say. We have the spirit of fear, which the demon of fear, as we can even say it better. The demon of fear we do not want to open up to, but the emotional fear can be good because it probably connected you to that dream, right? In a way you may have woke up and not remembered that. But the Lord gave her that dream for a reason so that she would remember and she would pray. She would seek the Lord because the Lord was talking to her, okay? All right.
What does Ethan mean again?
Gift of God. Oh. Or something close to that. Yeah.
I don't usually dream. I rarely dream.
Okay. Yeah. That's important too, because when we rarely remember our dreams, the ones that do come down are very, you know, the Lord is really speaking to us and we need to listen. Okay, what's the next slide? Remember that your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life. And that's in Proverbs 18.
Amen.
And so we want to speak life. We're going to speak life over Ethan this whole time. But knowing also that this dream of Ethan could represent an issue or something else that the enemy is trying to kill too early. Right? Our children, and in this case, her grandchildren, are a promise and a heritage from the Lord, right? It's our inheritance. Right? I'll let you talk about that. So when we know that we have a promise in our children and our inheritance of the Lord, we know that we have to stand for that promise and say that promise cannot die. That promise will not die. It will live. It will happen. I believe it because I know what the Word of God says, right? Okay, and you make that point. You said the can be our.
Yeah, I was thinking about, because there's so much going on, but I was thinking, you know, it's so important when we have these dreams to think about what's going on in our life. Because there's other issues that are happening that, we know just because she said before that in the time your grandson was sick,
right?
Or was he?
Oh, was
sick?
He? Okay. Was there anything that was going on?
That's where I got confused.
Yeah.
No, he was just 2 months early in the hospital, a month until he could suck, you know, not be fed.
Oh, nurse. So he was a preemie.
He was a preemie.
Okay.
And then he was home 10 days and had to go back to the hospital for 10 days, because they thought it might be, what's that virus babies get?
Oh, okay.
He's healthy. He is healthy.
So did you have the dream when he was just born?
Yes, not long after he was born, yes.
But when he died in the dream, he was around 12?
Yes, he was at like a
teenager.
Adolescence, yeah.
Okay.
Early.
And how old is he now?
Oh, turned 16 last year.
Glory to God. Yeah. So he got past that. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so I want you to see how important that is.
Hallelujah.
I mean, that timeline is extremely important for all of us to see. Because it's really easy to go, oh, I saw you die last night, you know, and really bring in the spirit of fear. Because I'll tell you what, it will bring in panic. Yeah, so I just want to see. And this is really good because that we're at this point. What is it?
Enduring and strong is the name of Ethan.
That's good. Thank you, Millie.
So
that's
even
good.
Declaring his name is so important.
Enduring and strong.
And that he will declare. He's not nonverbal, but he hardly ever speaks.
Oh, wow.
So that he will declare word of the Lord. That's we spoke. We spoke that together over him.
Yes,
it's important.
So
speak it with his mouth.
Yes, and so you might get something with his name on it this year, even, and just say, "I remember," and you. I am declaring that you are enduring and strong, and you are going to endure through this.
Yeah, because it could be a warning dream for that to pray for the for. Ethan, even because the you know we know the enemy comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but Jesus,
that name Jesus. Means also and long lived.
Oh wow! Yeah.
I'm enduring, strong, and long lived.
Go ahead.
The name Ethan is of Hebrew origin.
Yeah.
I'm enduring, strong, and long lived.
That is awesome.
So
the enemy always does the opposite. You know, it comes with the opposite.
The devil is such a liar.
Yeah.
He didn't. He is such a liar.
Yeah.
Stay right here. So, okay, so also.
But I thought it was interesting that you said, because you actually said, you know, when they carried him out, it's something we don't do in this land. I thought that was really important. It just clicked with me, and it clicked with you, right, Michelle? So you notice something like, wait, that's out of place. So what does that mean in there? You know, because if you put all the – because it could be totally about Ethan and your declaration over Ethan. It also could be – because weren't – now, I don't know you a real well, but weren't you part of a church that you were in leadership?
Yeah.
Okay. Because a lot of times when things, I just want to say this because we think it's about this person or that, but sometimes the Lord will use things that are going on in our life to speak about another situation that's actually going on in also, like the parable. Yeah. So as a leader in the church.
Oh, my Lord. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay, I want to honor. So let we have. I know we have to honor that church. So that is bad. Let me just say, okay. So we want to be so careful because just like that dream yesterday was honoring the church, we want to honor the church. Right? Regardless. Even though the church looks nasty and dirty sometimes, like that yesterday, you know, I'm like, oh. But Jesus said, I'm sorry. She's mine. That's my bride.
Yes, amen.
Right?
Amen. And he's creating his bride to be without spot or wrinkle, a glorious bride. He's creating the church to be, we're going from one degree of glory to the other. So speaking curses over the church is sinful. It's speaking
right.
against him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so the church that, how many years have you been in church?
48 years.
48 years, wow. Almost 50 years. And at this point, it looks real iffy to know if the legacy of what Helen and literally several of my friends have been a part of that I love dearly, and they love that church so dearly. And there's a concern that, wait, will the legacy continue? Will it be lost? And you know what? Maybe all of us have had that happen. I've had that happen in my life. I've thought, wait, did anything happen? What? Is that going to die?
So, because I like to teach dreams, is it okay if I...
Yes, teach. Yeah.
Yeah, because, see, that's why I brought this up, because when you have a dream like that, and yes, you can declare over the grandson and all of that, and that's so important. That is so important, because that was going on, too. But when you have a dream like that, you've got to go to the Lord, because he will use that situation to bring in this other topic that you, when we become familiar with something, we get so familiar and we're in a situation, we don't always see
the whole picture, but the Lord sees the whole picture.
And he sees the whole timeline.
So that's why asking, because it can be, like we talked about yesterday, the multi-layer, it's the one layer is the grandson and the health of the grandson and the life of the grandson, which we take care of. But Lord, are you showing me something else as well? Because that was happening and it may have been, grandson also is your future.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, because our kids are our future. Mm-hmm. So it's so important. So that's why I'm just saying, let's not limit it to the person that we see in the dream in any way. And just ask the Lord. Now, it may have just been that, but because there is something else going on, it could have been also a warning of a bigger thing, especially as a leader, because everybody in this room is leaders. They are, even you.
Yeah, even Bethany. Yes,
it's, you are,
she is.
Yeah, you're a leader. Yes. I mean, in this generation.
Yes,
so
amen.
So as leaders, he's going to speak to us as leaders.
That's right.
So, yes, you're a grandmother, but you're also a leader in the church, and it's God's house, and he's going to tell his leadership what's going on and how to pray and what to pray for.
But I think there's more about the legacy piece. I think women my age easily bought the lie that the younger generation, and they didn't want to hear what we had to say. They got it. They got this. So we clam up a little bit, and we don't speak out. So
true.
I think that our spiritual legacy, our children, those that we minister to in the Lord, but our children and grandchildren, the promise of the word says the blessings of the righteous go to the children of 1,000 generations.
Right.
So we won't cut that off.
Right.
This lie of the enemy. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not going to die. That's right. It's going to declare the works of the Lord.
Yeah. So it actually opens up a whole new realm, doesn't it, of understanding?
Mm-hmm. Of this dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So on the foreign picture, because you honored Israel so much, I think that is a key piece. And I think that that was such a tenet of that ministry, that it was on a national level that church honored Israel, and international level, because they went every year at least once. How many? At least once.
Well, a group went once a year. The other group tours.
So more than once a year. So see how huge it is for two nations.
Wow, that's really interesting with the name Ethan too. What was that again?
Yeah, read it again.
The name, that how you read that name?
Strong and long living.
Because Israel is...
And enduring. That's right. That was the other word.
It.
That's really good.
Oh, yeah. With the name, it really is.
Yeah.
Firm, enduring, strong, and long lived.
Amen.
And it's Hebrew origin.
And it's Hebrew.
Yeah.
Wow.
Eton.
Wow.
That's so good.
Wow.
Aren't you just blown away by it? Did you see how short that dream was?
Yeah.
I mean, what? You had like two lines. And you go, oh, you got all of that.
Yeah. And don't they
do
that?
In a dry place?
Yeah.
A dry path?
And in the Middle East, don't they do that kind of thing for the funerals? Not in this land. It doesn't happen in this land.
I just quickly Googled the white robes in the Middle East, and it's a sign of repentance.
Oh.
Turning back to the ways of God.
Amen.
Wow. Wow.
Dreams open up so much. It's a mystery that God wants us to see into that realm. his realm, the way he speaks.
Can I just say that she could have said, this is a dream from the devil? Again? Do you see what I'm saying? I want to make that such a clear point, because I've seen it in other nations. When you go in, they all believe their dreams are off double. So we have to get that mindset. No, your dreams. And once you tell the pastors of a foreign nation, of India or Africa or anywhere, you tell them they're from God, it changes everything. Those men, it changes their lives. They all of a sudden act completely different. I had one guy fly across the land after we did his dream. And that doesn't happen. You don't get on an airplane in Africa. I didn't know that until I got there. You don't do anything. You don't even travel outside your village. And he traveled outside his village, went on a plane, went to a revival of pastors. Changed his life completely because we told him his dreams are all from God. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come here. You want to give her that?
I hosted Stephanie a couple months ago at a fire camp at our house church, and she taught these because we had some families that were asking about the death dreams and are they from the devil. So she shared this with us, and how, and sometimes with emotions after a dream, to lay that before the Lord for a couple days before you actually go and interpret the dream, because
right.
Your emotions as you are in that, because it. So, example, I had a death dream of my son a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
And if before I learned that, I would have, it's devil, he's speaking against my kids, and, you know.
Right.
And got emotional.
Right.
But I had prayed the night before that God put on my heart what he saw my children as, and I get this death dream, right? So, at first I woke up, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, really? And then it put me on my knees to start, right. Okay, Lord, what are you saying, right?
Right.
Ask him and start declaring life. And it was a graphic suicide dream of my son. I mean, it was horrific, and it broke my heart. So I get on my knees, and then I start declaring, saying, no, Lord, you're saying something to this. God, what are you saying? What are you saying to me in this dream? What do you want? What do you want for my child? So I strengthened myself in the Lord, right?
Yes.
Didn't get caught up in the emotion,
yes,
of, oh, my God, my kid's going to die. Husband, help. You know, I didn't do any of that. I just said, no, Lord. Strengthened myself,
yeah,
built myself up.
That's good.
And then I called my
husband. Yeah.
Said, hey.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's like, you're telling me our kid's going to die, but yet you're joyous? And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, God's doing something, right? He's at work. He's doing something. And so he did call our son, and he said, calls me back. He goes, okay, you're right. Something's wrong with our son. And I said, well, good. Glory to God. Something's going to come out of it. Well, we had sent our son away about a year prior because he was 19. He was just being disobedient. He didn't want to follow. And he said, after my husband called him, Daddy, I want to come home.
Wow.
Within 6 days from that dream,
wow,
in the city, he was home.
Wow.
What would have happened if instead I had resisted knowing that God was trying to say something,
right,
and I got caught up, it's devil, he's trying to, but no,
right,
no.
That's so good. Thank you, Amber. Oh my goodness, I love you. Oh my goodness, that's so powerful. Oh my goodness. You see how powerful that is? The power of life and death is in the tongue. We have to be able to declare the truth. It is power. Yeah, testimony is. The word of our testimony is, no, stay. Stay. We're going to pray over you, and we're going to pray for the legacy. We're also going to pray for Ethan, because I have a feeling, boy, there's a huge,
yeah,
he has a legacy of his own that's going to be massive.
Yes.
Was there anything else in the dream that we can glean from? Did we get it? I just love that, but I want you to see how many parts of that were, and it was a two-line dream. Now, not everybody will sit down and go through a dream this much, and Debbie, yeah, come here. I want to hand her. But even if you get the base, you know, even if you get a great sense of it and declare the word of the Lord over it, you're well on the way, okay? Okay, so go ahead.
So when Helen was talking, I heard the Lord say, there's different areas of life that the enemy tried to steal. Not necessarily, I mean, maybe the enemy was like trying to steal his life force, but I felt like I would ask Holy Spirit, what is the enemy trying to steal of life, of what you, of what's written in his book, his destiny,
mm-hmm,
of what he is called to do, and that,
yeah,
the enemy is the one that always takes the place of death to the dry places.
That's good. That's good. So we want to declare the truth over his destiny as well as you. You had the dream, so that's why it's so important that you glean the riches of that dream for you as well, okay? So, yeah.
Back when I was praying about, with the churches closing for COVID, and
yes.
I was praying, and then I heard that maybe not all churches should open. Maybe they should be allowed to die because they just, it wasn't healthy or whatever.
Right.
So in this instance, maybe the robes are symbolizing, not that church has to die, but...
Right.
There's parts of it that have to die in repentance. And Ethan is long, this church is long lived or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's something that may need to die. Because just as a whole society and Christianity, we've drifted so far.
Right.
And there's like a new norm of Christianity
right.
that looks a lot like humanism.
Right.
You will talk to Christians today.
Right.
And you look up, and I was led to look up. Or I asked Google, what's the definition of humanism?
Uh-huh.
And it was exactly what I see in a lot of Christians,
wow.
a lot of young Christians.
Right, right.
They're reading all these books.
Right.
They're not reading the Bible.
No.
They can put all these books on Facebook, and
yeah.
like, read this book and how we're supposed to, but that's not Christianity.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know where I'm at now.
yeah.
No,
that's very good.
Yeah.
And you even brought up the religious. Did you bring up religious spirit, or were you thinking that? Sometimes what looks like a white robe as far as death can be religious spirit needs to die.
Rachel.
Oh, Rachel. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that white robe.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you look close, sometimes it's a little bit off-white. Yeah, pay attention. Pay attention to the whites, because if it's an off-white, it's important. Or like even a gray-white. There's a lot of lot of colors in white, but you want to be careful. Yeah. Well, yeah, she does. Yeah, but that would be just prayer. But this, that's very good. Yeah. So, okay, let's pray for Helen.
Yeah.
And let's just declare the truth. So, Father, right now, we thank you for our dear sister who has truly invested her life into this, not only her grandson, but into a ministry for almost 50 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Father, we say the legacy of what has been established in that place will live and will not die, and they will declare the works of the Lord in that place continuously. The good things will continue. And yes, the stuff that needs to die will die. That's, yes, we agree. And we thank you, Lord, for long life. Say all those words. Long life. What was it? Enduring. Strong. And firm. Firm. They will establish a strong understanding of God without any of the wavering, that they will be strong-hearted men, full of valor, that they will have backbones to stand against false doctrine and humanism, like my sister just brought up. In Jesus' name, and we thank you, God, because what Helen has worked her entire life to establish is going to continue. It's going to live. And Father, we thank you also for Ethan, who is going to live and not die, and his legacy will continue. The promise of who Ethan is going to be established on this planet, and it's going to live on for eternity. We thank you, Lord, for this young man that you spoke to her so long ago, and Lord, the war was over his life, even from the very beginning. And we just say he will live a very long life. That was the other word. It was a long life. Ethan will live a very long life. And we thank you, God, for what you're going to establish through this dream. We thank you, God, for the promises that you're going to see come to pass in Helen and in Ethan. And we just give you glory and praise and honor. That is so powerful.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you, Lord.
Do you see how powerful a dream is? Chris, would you come? Oh, did you have something? Come here anyway. Because I want to do your dream. Come here and you can talk to us. You got to hear her, just her accent alone. That's why I want to do her dream. Come here. We love how she talks. You said you're from London?
I think I'm from England.
England. Okay, come sit.
I had this dream when I was about 3. And it's always been there. I've never analyzed it or thought about what it might mean. It scared me a little. But as I say, I haven't unpicked it, so I'm trusting you guys. I'm from England, so there'll be things that you may not even relate to.
That's okay.
But we used to have a farmer's market.
Oh, wait, just the dream.
Well, I was at the farmer's market.
Oh, you were at the farmer's market, okay.
With where there was all cattle and that being sold.
Okay.
And I was with my mom, and I'm only kind of this big. And I had this hair grip, or this, do you call it a slide? I mean, we call it a slide.
Oh, like a barrette.
To hold your hair back like that.
Yeah.
And it was silver. And I had this slide in my hair. And this bird, and I think it might have been a magpie, was trying to get my slide. It kept flying. And my mom, who was there, she was talking to someone. And I kept going, Mom, Mom, you know, to save me. And she completely ignored me.
Wow.
And I was frightened of this. I'm a little bit nervous about birds anyway. But I think it was a magpie, because magpies collect.
Right. Right.
And so, so that was it.
Okay. So what color is a magpie? Does anybody know? Are they
aren't they black and white?
Black and white.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's a good dream.
Is it?
That's a good dream.
Because I did read somewhere that it was a sexual dream. And that's what frightened me.
Oh. Okay. So there is one train of thought from Sigmund Freud.
Yes, it was.
And everything.
It was him.
Yeah. He had a sexual problem. Freud had a problem, and he made everything about his
sexual
problem. It really is true. He has books and books and books and books, and that's all it is. I'm like, are you kidding me? Honestly, if you can interpret everything through sex, something's wrong with you. You can't interpret it through the Spirit of the Lord. You can't interpret it through anything else. You can only interpret it through Spirit. Yeah. And so the other thing is that's why I wrote the dream book. I wrote this book because I picked up a book. I was at a warehouse, and I was going through the children's books. They were letting me, or I was just sorting. Nobody else would do the children's books. I said, let me do them. And so I'm sorting through the books. And one book gives me an electric jolt. Boom! I feel it. And so I go back to that. I know enough to know, you know, any kind of a lightning bolt or a jolt. And it wasn't it didn't feel like static electricity. It felt different. And I picked it. I mean, normally you don't get a jolt from a book, static electricity even. But it was like a jolt. And so I went back to that book and picked it up and looked at it. And I went outside, and I start realizing this is a book on dreams for children, and it's being in everything in there is being interpreted through either a New Age thought process, or a occult, or a Gnostic or knowledge, you know, human knowledge. And I thought, you know, it made me furious because we were doing fire camps at that time, and I was like, wait a minute, God did all these. Why are you're not interpreting this through God's word? You're interpreting it through man's stuff, and that Freud did too. He was like, everything's sex. So So now we're going to look at it from your dream, from as you were a child. Now, I thought this was extremely important because some of you have had dreams that you've had either repeating dreams since you were a child, or you remember one dream that sticks out in your, and it has affected your entire life. Did you have something? Did you look up something?
Well, yes, magpies are considered one of the most intelligent animals in the world. They're one of only a few non-mammal species able to recognize itself.
Okay. So magpies are considered one of the most intelligent animals in the world, and one of only a few non-mammal species able to recognize itself in a mirror.
Not able to reckon?
No, it can recognize itself.
Can. Able to recognize.
Oh, that's amazing.
In a mirror. One of the few non-mammal species.
That can recognize
itself in the mirror. What's a mirror?
And they're very
interesting. Okay.
The mirror.
Okay, so a mirror. What's a mirror?
The word
in
of God.
Metaphor language. What is a mirror? It's the
reflection.
Word of
the
God.
Word of God.
Right?
Yeah.
They made the laver out of the mirrors of the women. Yeah. You wash
silver.
Silver.
It was a silver slide.
You wash your, remember, you wash in the washing of the water of the Word of God, and he was trying to steal the silver, which is redemption.
Yes. It's so interesting, too, that the magpie is the state bird of Colorado.
Oh, and no, that's a lark bunting.
Isn't it? The
I don't think it's the magpie, unless it's called the same thing, lark. Yeah.
Oh,
lark bunting.
But there's so many here.
Yeah, magpies.
I've never seen them till I got here.
No, I never saw lark bunting.
So you had them in? No, I mean the magpie.
Magpie. Okay.
I never saw a magpie in Illinois.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Did you have them in England?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But black. Okay, talk about black and white if you want to.
Yeah.
Because they're black and white. That's important, too.
Right, but I... Okay. Actually, if I wanted to get... I mean, because we could go negative. Because right. It was a negative... You felt it scared you. But I tell you, the calling of the Lord is very scary to us. Like, because we don't think, one... You know, just what Holly has been talking about how we... You know, it's like a holy thing. You know, it's a holy...
Right, the fear
holy
of the Lord.
Thing. Mm-hmm. And... And black and white can represent the prophetic gifting.
Oh.
It's the prophetic gifting on your life.
Yeah.
Well, I feel he was trying to steal something from me.
That's right. Unclean bird, right? And he was trying to steal something from you.
But remember, she was trying to get her mother's help.
Mother's help.
And who's the
who's
mother?
The mother?
No,
not necessarily, no.
The church.
The church.
In that, well, I feel like that.
That dream, yeah.
It's the church.
It wasn't your real mom that was ignoring you. It was the church that was ignoring you.
I didn't have any church background.
Yeah, at that point, you didn't.
No.
But this is because you remember this your whole life, this is why you had that dream.
I mean, yeah, Jeremiah was called really young, right? The prophets, the lot,
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so what did you just get?
Well, I believe the Lord knew me before I knew him. And I think even at 3 or a very age, I trusted and believed in him.
Yes.
Even though I had no input whatsoever. No religious input. Only I was christened. We call it being christened, you know, like a dedication.
Yes.
And I was the only one in my family that was christened. And I always felt the Lord, I always felt he knew me.
That's so good. So I know just enough about you, Chris, that one of the first nights you were at my church, you gave an extremely accurate word. And... first you said, I was saved in this kind of a atmosphere where we practice the prophetic. And then you said, we went away from that. The church I went to went away from that, right? And it was like we ignored it. I wasn't in a place where I could. And then she said, I'm really rusty at this. I said, well, I want to be rusty like that.
Okay.
Because it was
so accurate.
You guys,
I got to share this.
Go ahead.
It's burning.
Yeah.
Okay. So the hair.
Yeah.
Your hair a lot of times can represent the anointing on your life. As a barrette ties it back. The bird, the black and white, the gifting, the prophetic gifting, was trying to take it off. Loose your hair.
Loose
the
anointing.
It's a very good dream.
Well, it's a very good Do you see why it's so important to train children in dreams and dream interpretation?
Yeah. Yeah. We just loose that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
Wow. And now her hair is silver.
I was thinking the same thing. It's the silver. It's now. Now's the time. And that's why I thought even about the magpie in Colorado. Now is the time.
Now is the time.
Yeah.
That's so good. It's on.
The key in the dream was the bird didn't get the barrette.
Yeah.
And it was silver, which is redemption.
Yeah.
You have the
you
anointing.
Have it. It never left
and
you.
And the gift. It never left.
It never left me, ever.
No.
No.
So that is so good.
And I always thought it was negative.
Right?
I always.
Yeah, but see, that's why I say when you have dreams that you feel scared, that's why you really, it's so important to have somebody to bounce dreams off of because they're not coming from that emotion. So if you work with somebody on dreams, then you actually, you can, it kind of, because somebody who's not emotionally tied can hear something like, Rachel over here looking stuff up, hearing stuff.
Right.
And so it's so good to have a dream partner that you can take that to. That's right. Really important when you're learning to interpret dreams.
And we automatically go negative so many times. Yeah. Automatically, we judge ourselves so mean.
And that scariness
is,
you guys, with that prophetic gifting is the fear of the spirit of the fear of the Lord.
Right.
I mean, you know, when you get, I actually don't really like doing this because I have the fear of the Lord. Because I'm like, Lord, oh my gosh, what if I say the wrong thing?
Right.
What if I do the wrong thing? And I don't want to represent you wrongly.
Right.
There's a spirit of the fear
of the Lord.
Lord. And when you have a prophetic gifting, it's so, I think our spirits are receiving from heaven in dreams, right?
Right.
So we're receiving these gifts even as a three-year-old.
Even as a three-year-old.
Or, you know, this gifting, the Lord's marking her with this gifting.
Yeah.
And so it brings that fear, and it, you tremble before. I mean, look at Isaiah. Who am I?
Right.
You know, and then he touches his coal.
Right.
You know, the lips with the coal. And because we know who we are. We're unclean, and that yet God is doing this with us. It brings a fear. So not all fear is bad. So even in a dream, when you have fear, it can be that fear of the Lord.
Right.
That kind of fear, not the fear, not giving the enemy any power or, you know. So we always have to look to the Lord in these things and go, wait, what are you? Because birds, by the way, are spirits, you know.
Yeah.
Anything with wings. Is a spirit. Well, the Lord's bringing that prophetic spirit there.
Okay, she just got something else. What'd you get?
I held this against my mother for years.
Right?
But you're saying the church.
Yeah.
And I really feel like this. And I've been going to church ever since I was saved 30 years ago, and I always felt insignificant that they wouldn't listen to me. They wouldn't mm-hmm. listen to me, and what I had to say
right.
was of no value.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what I do say. Mm-hmm. It's from the Word.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. It's true. I've watched this. And I've watched her words. We had a healing over her words, over her prophetic words.
And isn't, I mean, even as a young child, the Lord gives you this dream. And now in the natural, you were mad at your mom, but it really was, in, even you've lived this out, like this, the church has not listened. They won't listen.
Yes.
And so, it, you know, because if you look at Jeremiah, this is so true of Jeremiah. They wouldn't listen to him.
No. Threw him in the cistern.
But it doesn't matter anymore because it's not about me.
Amen.
Right.
That's good. That's really good. Sammy, did you have a thought?
I just heard the only thing that was being stolen was the truth.
Yeah. And true. we're getting robbed as a church.
Right.
We were robbed of that all those years
of her gift.
Of that gifting.
Right.
But restitution. Yeah.
Yeah. And redemption. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right.
You.
So, and I'm going to get the benefit of this. I'm going to take it in our church.
I get it too.
That's right. You get it too. That's right. We're all going to benefit from it.
We're all getting it.
We're all going to. Listen, we all either benefit from each other, right? Or we shun each other because they don't have it. They don't have it. We pick and choose. No. Listen, even in a religious church, you'll have people that you'll gain wisdom from. I've gained wisdom from John MacArthur. I disagree with a lot of things, but I have gained from John MacArthur. I pray for John MacArthur because he just opened his church and went through all that legal stuff. And man, I was like, God bless. I always say grace to you, John MacArthur. Because that's what he says. That's his thing. But we can glean from anybody, if we will, if we'll be tender hearted to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will use a donkey. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if your childhood, you felt like you were raised
a little
bit. What,
children should be seen and not heard?
If you felt like you were raised a little bit.
Oh, my dad was always saying that to me.
So we're going to break that off. Because we're all children of the Most High God, right? We're all children.
And you guys, wait, how many of us has that happened to?
Yeah.
I know we went through it as kids.
Yeah,
You should be seen, not heard. And always put down, or you know.
Yeah.
And you know what I was thinking about? And I really want to pray for all of us with this. Because, you know, I was thinking about why, you know, spirits of jealousy and all that happen in the church.
Yeah.
It's because of this stuff right there.
Right.
Because we don't think we have it. And, you know, I want to pray that we become like, you know, where when we see something, and we see something wrong because we discern too, because we all have discernment, we go, Lord, what's going on? I remember I went to a party last week or a couple weeks ago, and I saw this couple, and they were so hurting. And I said, Lord, would you give me a word for this couple? And the whole day went by. We had this party, and it went on, and I was getting ready to leave the party. And I thought, oh, well, that didn't happen. And then suddenly I heard, oh, he's going to go into surgery this week. And I let's pray for him before we go. I touch him. The Lord gives me a word. Because I learned a lot from this. Because I did not judge them and come up with my own ideas and ask the Lord, would you give me a word? When I touched him, you know what the Lord gave me was really wild. I never had this happen. He gave me a dream he had. And I spoke the dream. And this kid freaked out because he goes, how did you know I dreamt that?
Only the Lord can do that.
Only the Lord can do that. And I actually didn't know it was a dream. I thought it really happened. And, you know, because it was that real, you know. But it did. See, it did happen. It was real. It was his dad shot him in the back. In the
wow.
And we brought him to the forgiveness. You know, we ended up, I mean, it ended up very powerful. And I learned so much from this because I thought, you know, if we could look at each other in the church without jealousy, without condemnation, with the love of the Lord.
Amen.
And go, how can I help? How can I bring something? When we see something wrong, we go, what can I bring?
Yeah.
To bring this, yeah.
Or when
to
somebody has
justice.
Or
yeah.
When somebody has something for us, be ready to hear. Be ready
yeah,
to hear.
If we could, we could help each other.
Right? We can
we
help,
could
each other.
Help each other. And we
we're
could,
the church.
Yeah, and we could grow. And
yeah.
That the mother would listen.
Yeah.
The mother would listen. You know?
We
would be the mother who listened.
Right.
I've been longing for someone to speak into my life. And I think it's because I just need to be affirmed.
Affirmed.
Of who I am.
And who doesn't need
and
that?
Valued of who
valued,
I am.
That's right.
But it never comes from the church. It comes from him.
Yes.
So, you know, mm-hmm. We all have those unmet needs. And
right.
They happen to be mine, so
yeah.
They were.
Here we yeah. are.
And you're listening. Yeah. Yeah.
I have to say that when I hitchhiked one time in California from San Jose to Anyway, I hitchhiked, literally, in a San something. It wasn't San Diego.
Well, you were going
yeah,
to
and I went to a conference.
Yeah.
No, you land in San, maybe I was going to San Jose, and I landed in San something else. Anyway, that's not the important thing, but I had a 35-minute trip, and all the things had left for that day, and so there was a lady at the end of the thing where the travel thing was, and I said, because I was talking to the guy who's the travel guy, and I said, so is there no more? I said, there's no more transportation tonight, and he said, no, the bus has just left, 10 minutes ago, and I said, oh, and she says down at the end, she says, I'll take you, and I said, oh. Well, thank you. You know, I was like, you know, you're processing. Is she a mass murderer? You know, seriously, you're processing. You just immediately start to process. You try not to process on your face. So I'm like, oh, well, thank you. You know, that's really kind. Are you going to kill me? So anyway, the guy goes, let me go check. And so he goes, and while he's off, I'm like, oh, boy. And because I was supposed to get to this conference, and I go, so then I had a little bit of time, and I said, so were you serious, you know? And she says, yes. She says, I'm picking up a couple of girls who've been traveling England all over, and she says, I was picking them up, and we're just going to go, we're going right where you're going. She said, I'll take you there. And I said, wow. I said, that's really amazing. The guy comes back, and he said, yeah, I'm sorry, there's nothing. I said, okay, what can I do to help you? And so I grabbed my stuff, and she said, it would really help me if you could help watch our dog while I go get the two girls. So I said, okay. So I went and stood down where we could meet and watch the dog, and drove pretty soon. And when I meet the girls that she just met, I'm realizing, oh, they're gay. You know, so I'm going to travel in a car for a long distance with people I don't know, but they're gay. Okay. So I'm like, oh, okay. So the whole time they were off, I'm thinking, yeah, I'm thinking that. And I was speaking that. Because I was like, but I was really more worried about my mouth. Right. I was really worried about me. So I was really trying to get lined up with heaven. What do I do? Well, come to find out, this is where I learned this, that women who are looking for their mother's affirmation will go into a lesbian relationship. And so, and I didn't know that. So I'm speaking in tongues, praying over myself, but the whole trip there, I'm affirming these ladies all of them, all three of them. They were all three. And I'm just saying, wow, that is brilliant. You need to be doing, you know, have you heard about this? We were talking about health issues and things like that. Have you heard about this? And they're helping me. And I'm just affirming. I'm like, I'm a mom. You know, I have six kids and blah, 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 blah. You know, and we just, our whole conversation was very affirming. I get to the place where we're at. Boom. 7 o'clock, right at the right time, I walk into the conference and find out either that night or that weekend that San Jose is the lesbian capital of the world. And then I find out, oh, they're looking for mother, okay, which is really looking for Jesus, right? Because mother really can't do it. But I just want to say that we have a whole issue around this. So I'm just saying that, but I want to bring that up because we have a whole issue going right around this, okay? That we can, this is a very evangelical, evangelist way of saying, you know, if somebody has a mother issue, then you can bring the love of Jesus. Honey, I love you. Especially us, we're all women here today, right now. And so that's, I think that is another, just a key.
Yeah, and one of the ways, you know, we actually so discern things that we don't actually, we think we're judgmental. And we're judging, and sometimes we are.
Yeah,
we
want to be very careful.
Clean that up.
Speak in tongues.
Yeah. But sometimes the Lord is prompting us to pray about something we're seeing because he gives us the discerning of spirits, what's operating in the spirit. So you look at somebody and go, oh, man, that person's hurting.
Right.
You know, and so you ask, Lord, what do you want to do? Because, see, the enemy would want to take that first thought.
Right.
And get you into this, and take you somewhere with that.
That's right.
And really, really, what the Lord wants to do is always bring truth and healing and justice. He always wants to bring that. Oh, yes, Holly, come here. So anyway, but I just want to say that because if you really ask, when you ask the Lord to bring that in, to bring that word, he will honor that because he always wants to do that.
That's right.
He always wants to bring healing.
So amen.
It's really a powerful little thing we can, you know, and we may not get an opportunity to give a word or say anything, but to pray for that person.
Right.
Because, you know, we heard like Jonathan's testimony where he said, I had nobody praying, but the lady who he had actually hurt
her daughter in her life
was the only one praying for him.
Right.
And,
no parents,
and how
nothing.
Powerful is that?
Yeah.
Because we don't know who's praying for that person.
Right.
And it may be us. God
That's
may
right.
be saying, I trust you
to pray
that
for
you
them.
Pray.
Yeah.
And if we honor that, and I tell you, the church would be the light it should be.
Amen. Amen.
It would be the light of the world. And
Amen.
People would flock.
Yes.
Because there's the healing.
Right.
There's the grace. There's
That's
everything
right.
that is we're supposed to be, right?
Yeah. So let me say in that story, okay, I forgot this part. This is really the key because the whole time we're driving, I'm thinking, I want to give these girls a prophetic word. You know, that was my whole, like, let's get them closer to Jesus. Somehow, whatever that looks like. So I'm just affirming him for 45 minutes or whatever it was. And I'm like, Lord, there wasn't a chance. We'll get out of my car. We get out of the car. I get my suitcase out first because we packed that way. And I'm standing there, and the Lord, immediately when I turn, I speak a word right out to the young girl. There was, okay, so there, you know, there's always a girl, and then there's a girl that looks like a guy that's kind of doing the guy thing. And then the driver. Okay, so the girl, I speak straight to her, and I said, oh, I see, and I said, the Lord knows. I didn't really say Jesus or anything like that, but I said, I see that you, blah, 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 and I began to really affirm her in from the Spirit of the Lord because it came just like that. And then I realized the guy, you know, the one that's trying to do the guy thing is looking at me, and I'm thinking, she's going to kill me if I don't nail this, right? Okay, that's really what came across my brain, and the fear of the Lord was upon me. I thought she's going to kill me, but I gave her such a good word, and then I glance over and her this girl's jaw had dropped. You know, oh, you are, and then she says, you were right on. And so then that gave the open door to say to this, because this was the one she loves, right? So then I was able to give her a good word, and then I turned over to the driver and gave her some cash and said, bless you, you don't know what you did, and then I was able to give her a word. Sometimes your cash is extremely important.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So the reason I want it, I'm all excited because I have a discerning of spirits, and I bet a lot of you do.
Yeah.
And so what she said when she started this out is, so you discern something, and then you feel bad because you feel like you're judging. I mean, it was always like, I don't want to judge that person, but I see that on that person.
Right.
And yes, God gives it to me a lot to pray, and also I'm in a soul ministry, so it's, but I always had this back and forth, kind of double-minded, which God doesn't like, you know. So I'm listening to Joe Sweet. I don't know if you know him, but I love Joe Sweet. And he's talking about the same thing. And he said, and God showed him that here's the deal. So this is just a super simple thing, but it helped me so much. So you're the wife, and your husband's always leaving his socks out. He's constantly leaving his socks out. Well, that's truth. Right. He left his socks out again today. And you say, sweetheart, please, could you pick up your socks? Judging him is when you go, yeah, he leaves his socks out because he doesn't like me. He doesn't really love
me.
And he's not. You're judging his heart.
Right.
We do not judge the heart.
That's
only God
good.
Knows the heart. But we judge those things God shows us. This is wrong, and it needs help, and it needs prayer.
So we can redeem it.
Ah, that's so simple. I've lived on this.
That's good. That's a very good delineation, and it sets you free to actually do it right.
Yeah.
Very good. It is a gift from God to have discernment. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Boy, that was worth the price of admission. Okay, let's pray for our sister. And then I think we'll close.
Yeah.
It's 11:30. Yeah, unless we have anything else. Let's pray. Yeah. We'll ask the Lord. Did you get anything else? And did this word, did this bring edification, exhortation, comfort to you?
It has affirmed me, and it's given me confidence not to doubt my discernment, because I've had discernment since I was 3.
Yeah.
With the circumstances around me, of course nobody would listen to me, but that damaged me because I thought that I was a horrible little girl. And the Lord's brought me through that, but it's just given me confidence.
Good.
And to really just, I don't always get it right, but I don't, it's not always wrong.
That's right.
It's not always wrong.
Yeah.
So I have to ask the Lord to guide me in that.
That was a good word. Because even though we have the fear of the Lord, that doesn't stop us from stepping out, right? If you're in the grocery store line and you hear somebody saying, I had a dream, or you're somewhere and I had a dream, don't let that stop you. Even if you're like, Lord, I'm just a beginner at this, don't let that stop you. We have to practice. Even if you hear the dream and maybe you only get, you know, think maybe Jesus is just trying to pull you close to himself. That's all you say. Something really simple. You didn't have to interpret the dream, but you cared to hear what was on the bottom in their heart. And that is so huge. So, and that's how we practice. The next time you step out, you're going to get more. And the next time you're going to get more. Don't let the spirit of fear or anything like that, because the spirit of fear will come upon you and say, well, you were stupid. You didn't know what that was. You know, he's a liar, doesn't know anything, so don't ever listen to him. We just say, no, you're a liar. But I'm going to step out again, because I believe the Lord's not going to give me a stone. He's going to give me bread for this person, right? Okay, yeah, Kristen. That's really good.
He would make a way for them that either the church or them, they're not hindered. They can fully to the gift.
That's right. That's so true. Kristen gives multiple copies of my book to Here I Am, the One You Love, to anyone who has children. So I'm sending boxes to her all the time. I love it. I love you. Yeah.
In the prayer, the barrette
with the silver represents redemption.
Right.
And the magpie, the voice of the song of the magpie, the cackle, it's like a cackle, and it's harsh. And I wonder, because it was in her head, if the enemy comes at her with
a cackle.
Interesting. Harsh words.
Yes.
And that to redeem her, you know, pray over her mind.
That's good. That's really good.
That redemption.
That's really good, Millie. Because we can, whenever we get somebody saying that to us, we can either agree with that and walk along that agreement, or you can say, that was a lie. I'm going to agree with what Jesus says. We all have to do that every single day of our lives. I do that. I used to physically say, I disagree with what that lie is, and I agree with you, Jesus. And I would literally go outside and walk and talk to myself about it, and I would say, I disagree with that lie that I just heard. And I, Jesus, I agree with you, so you have to tell me the truth, you know. And that, so if you have to do that, do it until it straightens out our thought process and what we are agreeing with.
I've got another thing.
Oh, okay, good.
Yesterday, I cried a lot, and it's like, the Lord took me through a slideshow of me as a child.
Wow.
And I was this happy little girl. And then something went wrong. And I was crying yesterday for my loss of my joy. And from what I was a very expressive little girl.
Mm.
And I was always singing and always dancing, and it's like that was just like stolen from me. But the Lord is restoring the ears, the locusts have eaten, to this point where I believe I'm not here by an accident.
No.
And He's releasing me into what He wants me to do.
Amen. You can dance anytime. You can dance if you want to. Dun, 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 dun.
Let's pray.
Let's pray.
Oh, that's so good.
Let's all just stand. Yeah. Because this is really, we can all gain from what
really
we said.
I really feel this prayer is for all of us. Even this.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, a prophet has these dreams. And they actually experience what the body's already experiencing.
Yeah.
And so many of us in the body have experienced this loss and that pain.
Yeah.
And not been heard.
Yeah. How old was Samuel when God called him?
Yeah. He was a young age.
A little bit.
Yeah,
he was
young
three.
Age. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Oh, here we are, the ones you love. Come on, let's just speak in tongues. We love you, Jesus.
Father, we come before you.
Yes.
We come before your holy throne.
Yes.
And Father, we forgive those.
Yes.
They did not know what they were doing.
No, they didn't.
They couldn't hear us, Lord.
Oh,
and Father, we forgive them right now.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Ask, Lord, that any unforgiveness in us, Lord,
yes.
that even these people, Lord, that you would bring them to mind. And I feel like even now that the Lord's going to bring people to mind.
That's right.
That we actually have held unforgiveness.
Yes,
they
God,
may not even be with us any longer.
I forgive.
But the Lord is wanting us to just release them.
That's right.
No hold on
us.
No hold on them. The tie's broken.
That's right.
So I'm just, Lord, if you, like the Lord brings those to mind right now, Lord, we forgive.
We forgive. We forgive. And we repent for where we've hung on to some silly thing that stopped us, that stopped them. Lord, we forgive. We repent. We repent. Now, Father, we bless Chris. Oh, we thank you for what we just gained from this dream. I thank you, Lord, for what we gained from Helen's dream. Thank you, God, that you speak to us in the night hours. That, Lord, you stop everything and come and meet with us in the night, even when we're very small. Father, what a God we serve.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, God. We love you. We love how you talk to us. Forgive us, Lord, when we've disregarded how you've talked to us and how you've spoken. So, Lord, we just thank you right now that, Lord, where the prophetic gift has been stolen all the way across this place,
yes,
wherever the prophetic, yes, gift has tried to be stolen, Lord, even me, when I was young, the prophetic gift was shut down. So, Father, I repent, and the church did it. So, Father, I forgive them. I forgive them. Lord, we forgive them, but I know that I'm never going to let that happen. If I know anything about it, it's not going to happen again in my lifetime to anybody I know. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you restore the prophetic gift to the church. We ask, Lord, that you continue to send us prophets from the womb, the baby prophets, Lord, who are coming up now.
Yes.
John Paul Jackson said, yes, I won't even call myself a prophet because I've seen what's to come.
Yes.
Listen, what's to come in the prophetic realm is untouchable, unbelievable. Well, we can't even imagine. So if John Paul Jackson wouldn't call himself a prophet, nor will I, but I want to see what's next. So, Lord, we just ask that the next generation, even the three-year-olds like our sister, we thank you, Lord, for these ones coming up and help us. Lord, we have our hands with children. Lord, we ask for Kristen right now who has her hands around children. You strategically placed, here I am, the one you love, all across this nation, Lord. You told me that thing would go everywhere, and it has. We thank you, God. We ask, God, that you will train up the prophets, train up the young prophets to come up, and that we will be ones who will train. We will help train them. It's so simple. It's just simply hearing Jesus. So, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you will help us, and we repent for when we've disregarded what a child said, or we said, oh, we poo-poo it and say, oh, you're here, and you have an active imagination. Ah, my God, you created the imagination. So, Father, we just thank you for how you speak to us, and we ask, God, that you'll help us to hear what children are saying around us and not to disregard it. Put us, Lord, we are your church. Put us in places where we can train and speak to children like never before. We ask that we will be the ones who will even impart the gift out of our mouth, out of our spirit realm, out of the spirit realm. We will impart the gift in Jesus' name. We need a million more prophets. We need a billion more prophets. We ask, God, that you will help us and help us to train up this next generation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And God, train us. Train us to hear your voice like never before. Train us, Lord. Teach us your ways. May we be the ones who read the word and understand the times that we're living in. May we be strong men of valor. We will not turn in the face of danger. And we'll not be afraid when somebody says, I had a dream. We'll not. The fear of the Lord will hit us, not the fear of man. And not the spirit of fear, but the fear of the Lord. And because the fear of the Lord drives us into obedience. So, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. And I pray for everybody's legacy in this place. David, God, I think it's in Chronicles, where God repeats that David accomplished absolutely everything that the Lord had put him on earth for. Father, right in this place, everyone in this place is going to complete every assignment that has been given. We say no easy ways, no stopping the assignment or the legacy before it happens. We thank you, Lord, that you're protecting everyone in this place. We will live and not die. We will declare the works of the Lord, and we will see the glory of God here on this earth. We, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you, Father, for how you're establishing your kingdom through each one in this room right now. We are your children and the sheep of your pasture. We will hear your voice and not the voice of another. We will listen to you, Lord, and we will say what you tell us to say. We ask God in Jesus' name that you will teach us. In Jesus' name.
Behold, my daughters, I have called you here to this certain place only because if your heart is ready, your heart is ready to hear my word to send you forth, because as the word says, the labors are few.
Oh, yeah.
You are going to go out and make more. You're going to put that seed out there from the north to the south, from the east to the west. The seed that you planted is going to be the harvest that's coming to usher me into coming back for every one of my loved ones here.
Yes.
My children, my daughters, don't be afraid.
That's right.
As I have said to you before, don't be afraid.
That's right.
You have heard many words spoken. Take those words. Don't forget them.
That's right.
Because they're for you.
Thank you.
I love you, my daughters. Don't give up. Keep strong. Because I am with you. And I will never leave you.
That's right.
Nor will I forsake you.
Thank you.
Because I am from the beginning to the end. The first and the last.
Thank you, Lord. Let's just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, we receive it. We receive the word of the Lord and we say yes. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, Lord, send me, like Janet read at the very beginning. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, send me. Here I am, the one you love. Send me. Send me, Lord. Put your fire upon my lips. Send me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Glory. Glory.
Got a testimony.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
We have a testimony. Thank you, honey. Thank you.
I wanted to tell what happened this morning. I was, we were getting ready to come. We were going to get ready to go eat breakfast. I and Lori. And so she took a shower. And then it's my turn. So I went into the bathroom. I undressed and I turned the water on. And I stepped into the tub, and it seemed like somebody grabbed my ankles and just pulled me up. I fell flat on my back. And I was laying there, and I didn't feel any hurt. All I can think of was how my back itched, and I kept going like that because I fell on the bath mat. And she was in the other room on the phone, and she heard me fall. That's how loud that was.
Oh.
And all I could say was, you got to help me, Jesus, because, you know, right now I can't get up.
Yeah.
And she come running in there and asked me if I needed help, and I said, well, yeah, I need to sit up, but I said, I can get up. And I wasn't hurting, you know. I went no sharp pains, nothing.
Praise the Lord.
But I was weak and I couldn't get, it was like a shock.
Yeah.
You know, when you hit trauma. All of a sudden.
Yeah, it does.
That's what it was for me anyway. So I just, she helped me and talked to me and all that. If I was hurt, needed help, I said, no, I just need to scoot up against the wall so I can pick myself up. Well, the sister, I don't know her name.
Lori.
Lori came. And
Rachel.
This lady, they came over. And that Lori found I had a cut on my back of my ear, and it was bleeding. And, you know, when you're when you cut your head somewhere, the blood just gushes out, yeah. You know, because you have so many veins in your head. Well, this one didn't.
Wow.
And she was wiping. She said, yeah, it's bleeding some. She said, but it's a gash, she said, you know. And she was all excited and everything. And I kept thinking, it's a great big old gash in my head. But it wasn't. It was a slice, you know, like, and I just slid it there. She took a picture of it so you could see it.
That's good.
But she came and bandaged my head.
Praise the Lord.
Right here behind my ear. That's why I got this tape on. But this Lori that says here, she prayed for me. I mean, they all did, the girls that came. But the thing that Lori said was that the devil was trying to break the covenant over me.
Mm.
And when she said that, I just knew the devil didn't want me to be here.
Mm.
Because I thought, well, I can't get up, I can't move, I'll have to stay in bed or, you know,
right.
Go home. So a lot of things happened for me not to be here.
Right.
Like 2 weeks before I was supposed to come, my husband had a heart attack.
Wow.
And she told me long before that, you know, like almost a month before that, she wanted me to come here. I said, I don't have no money. You know, I can't, I'm working, but I'm in between paydays. So I said, I won't get paid till way after. And she said, don't worry about it. It's all paid for.
Wow.
And so I know that Lord wanted me to come.
Yeah.
I told the Lord, I said, you want me to come? You provide a way.
Amen.
And you make a way for me.
Yes.
And he did.
Yes, amen.
He
praise
did.
The
and
Lord.
I wondered when I, even back then I wondered, you know, I'm old, I said, and these are going to be young girls there, you know. They're all into the new coming up generation, yeah. Praising you and knowing all this revelation and stuff. And I said, I can't go up to that mountain, you know.
And here you are.
I was just thinking negative that right? I couldn't get up to the top of the mountain. And he said to me, he said, you remember Moses? He said, you remember Moses? He said he got up to the top of the mountain when he was 8 years old.
That's right. That's so good.
I'm way past 80 years old. But it's wonderful, you know.
Yeah, amen.
What I'm hearing and amen. What I'm seeing, even these here older ladies, when I got here, I saw a lot of older ladies.
Yeah.
And the Lord was revealing this. He said, all of us old ladies here have a lot to give to the young ones.
Yeah. Amen.
The new born-again Christians.
Amen.
You got a lot to give them. A lot of wisdom you have. A lot of visions you had. And these little ones here need to hear that.
Yes.
They need to know that. Amen. That's what her dream was about, the keys.
Yeah.
Because amen. The keys, Jesus went to hell.
Yeah.
He came back and he
that's
brought
right.
those keys.
That's right.
And he gave it. He's
yeah.
giving it right now. He's
that's
giving
right.
it to all
that's
of
so
us
good.
Here. Your
that's
your
so good.
Gift. That's what he's talking about. Your gift, which have all of us, what we have, that's what the keys open that door
amen.
For freedom.
Amen.
We are no longer bound in chains. We're no longer bound in any kind of thing that the devil could put on us. We're not bound by that.
Glory
at all.
To God.
No tradition anymore.
No.
We're set free.
That's
we
right.
can go anywhere and praise the Lord and heal the sick.
That's right.
Because Jesus said then.
That's
he
right.
He said, I give you power. Lay
amen.
Your hands on the sick and
they
recover.
That's right.
That lady there yesterday was very sick at home at her room. And the man and this lady here come and told us about it. So I and Lori and her went down to pray for her. So we prayed for her. And this morning she had this big old bright smile on her face. And I, you know.
Praise
and
the
last
Lord.
Night, her dream, what she dreamed when she was a baby, comes from England.
Yeah.
And that, the gospel was brought over here from England.
That, there you go.
And the
that's good.
Magpies she saw, they are around the buffalo in America. So the message here is that this message God has sent over here is for all of us because it's an age-old message.
That's
Jesus
good.
Christ
That's
died
good.
On the cross.
Yeah. Yes, amen.
And they brought it over here that we can be saved.
Amen. Amen.
All of us. It's not just for the Jewish people. It's for us, Gentile. Whosoever will. You girls got it. Just let it out of your mouth.
Amen.
Just let it out of your mouth. You got
Amen.
Power. You got power to walk. He said you can walk on serpents.
Amen.
And scorpions. You got all that power within you. You can do it. I know you can. Because I was dumb. I never finished school. Never did all of that. But the Lord called me.
Amen.
When he called me to go out and for my people, that's another story. I'm coming up to this mountain, he's going to send me back to my own people.
Amen.
Because
tell us who your people are.
The Sioux and the Cheyenne.
And she's
South
related, and the Lakota. And you're related to?
We are related to Crazy Horse. And we are related to Red Cloud. My grandfathers were
Nanny. Yay.
So
we go.
So when the Lord sent me, he gave me a vision. He came into my room and he said, I'm going to send you out. And I said, I can't talk. You know, I can't talk. I don't know how to talk. Speeches, nothing. I said, but he said, look out the window. I looked out the window, and it was all white people, but they all had their hands up like that. It was a wheat field, and they all had their hands up like that. And he said, I'm sending you out to there. They need me. They want the power. They want to be healed. They want to be saved. They want deliverance. So when I went, I didn't provide the way. A lady older than me came. And she provided that way. She said, I'm a teacher. And she said, I need you. We didn't even know each other.
Yeah.
Never saw, but one time we met each other. And she said, I want you to come as my intercessor.
So good.
I didn't know what an intercessor was. I wasn't born in a church.
Right.
I never attended church. But I just listened to the Spirit of God.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. You young girls got a lot to offer.
Yes, amen.
You got a lot to offer.
Amen.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid.
Glory to God.
You have
so
it.
Good.
Stick with it.
Yes.
Go with it. Don't. No matter who's in front of you, just know that the Holy Spirit is there making you strong.
Oh,
He'll open
precious.
That mouth. He'll give you the words.
Yeah.
Because he said, if they even drag you into court,
right.
He says, don't say anything. I'll give you the words when you get in there.
Amen.
And that's true.
That's so good.
Everything I'm telling you is true. I saw great miracles that he did.
Praise
Legs
God.
That were straightened. Blind eyes that were blind.
Glory to God.
My
Glory
grandmother was blind. She went blind. That's the greatest story of my life is my grandma. She was from the 1800s. And she went. She didn't believe in Jesus. She said, this Jesus you talk about, she said, they brought him over on a boat. She said, that black book you got, she said, they brought that too. She said, that's not our God.
Mm.
And when I got saved at 14, I knelt down at her knee every day and prayed for her that she would get saved.
That's so good.
Within a year, she gave her heart to the Lord.
That's so good. Praise the Lord.
That's my story because she was a very good encourager to me.
That's so good.
She told me, you know, whatever you do, I'm following you. She said, my granddaughter, whoever this Jesus is, I want to serve him too, she said. She got filled with the Holy Ghost.
Ooh.
She talked Cheyenne, but she spoke in another language. And that was wonderful because then my mom, my dad, grandfather, aunt, uncle, aunt, everybody came in.
Praise.
They all wanted to be saved.
Amen.
And it was a revival. But the devil, he still tries to kill and destroy.
Yes, he does.
He struck her blind. She went blind. And I told my mom, I said, you know, She said, your grandma's blind. She said, and she can't see. She said, so they put her in a room, a dark room. And when she couldn't see, and I just felt so bad. So I told my mom, I'm going to go in my room and I'm going to fast. When the Lord tells me to come out, I'm going to come out. And when I did, it was 3 days later. And the Lord told me to take a cup of water and go wash her eyes. So I went and did. I did. I washed her. We went up to her place, and I said, Grandma, I'm going to pray for you. The Lord told me to bring this cup of water. Back then, we had tin cups.
Yeah.
It wasn't no fancy cup. It was a tin cup. And I went over there, and I said, in the name of Jesus, and I washed her eyes. Nothing happened, but we praised the Lord that he's going to do something.
Yeah.
We walked out of the room. We're sitting in her living room talking, and she came out of her bedroom and she was singing.
Praise the Lord.
I can see. I can see.
Wow.
that was my biggest miracle that I had ever seen. That's only so because this preacher that helped told me about Jesus, he said, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you finish that, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. After you get through reading that, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I fell in love with Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, that love of Jesus was so powerful.
So good.
He brought me all the way till now. All my folks are gone. I had 6 children. I lost 3. I said, they're not supposed to take him, but he told me long before that he was. I cried, cried, cried before they ever died, but I lost 3 of them. And you know, he took me above that. The sorrow, all of that, I seemed to walk on top of it. Even when my dad was my next biggest stronghold, where I can be, you know, go to and talk to. And I hated to lose him. So I hung on to it. I said, don't take my dad. Whatever you do, don't take my dad. But he said, if you love your father, your mother more than me, he said, you're not worthy of me. You're not worthy of this.
So good.
So I said, all right, I know where he's going.
Yeah.
The preacher that was come into this room, my dad was in the hospital. He said, I got to the doorway. And he said, I saw a road going up. And he said, I saw your dad dancing up in that road. He was going up into heaven. And you know, I thought that my dad used to really like to dance. You know, he liked to really dance. He was really a good professional dancer.
That's good. That's good.
And then when I heard that, I knew he was going home.
Praise the Lord. That's so good. Thank you, honey. Let's just lift her up right now. Let's just pray. Everybody put your hands out. Father, right now, we just thank you for our sister. If anybody begins to feel hot in your hands, just come up and gently lay it on her shoulders. And that's healing. That's the healing power of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you've healed her, but you are healing her. You've already done a work, and you're going to do more. So we just thank you right now in Jesus' name. For your hand that's moving in her life, we give you glory. We thank you for complete healing from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We say 100%. May the latter years be greater than the former. We thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory and praise. Thank you, Lord.
You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.